Greetings, Only Tans. Today is March 1st, and yesterday, February 29th, we welcomed Profit Props. His name is Matt, but his handle is Profit Props to the show. And he is a professional sports bettor. That's how he makes his living. And he focuses in on NBA and other sports, but doing props, player props. And I thought it would be interesting to have him on the show because of my interest in NBA Top Shot Fast Break and the correlation there, the crossover, maybe finding edges or just finding out ways to win that night's action. And I thought there were some pretty interesting takeaways that he offered, and you'll have to listen in to hear those takeaways. But I thought it was a fun conversation, and we also talked a little bit about his understanding of NBA Top Shot and what he thinks about this fast break game as someone who is doing props every night, right? So it's a different kind of game that he's playing, but fast break could be something that he and other prop bettors might enjoy. And that was something that I wanted to find out about. So that's what we did. We talked about that. And then after he left, we continued chatting a little bit about the last week in Top Shot, including the new packs that have been released, the hacks on Twitter. Adrian Wojnarowski was hacked, and we talk about that a little bit, and we cover a couple other things. But listen, it's a fun show. It's a fun time to hang out. I hope that you can hang out with us next time. It's every Thursday, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. But some people can't. They work. And so that's why you listen to the podcast while you do your dishes or you walk your dog or you sit in traffic. And on that note, by the way, if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't left a star rating, at least wherever you get it, if it's Apple, if it's Spotify, if it's Google, if you could just do that for me, I think it would help. I don't know for sure, but I think. And also, I need to give a shout out to our sponsor again. Our sponsor is floaty.io. And in today's ad read for Floaty, we talk about using filters, finding trade tickets, and so on. So if you're doing anything, if you're buying, if you're selling anything on the Flow blockchain, primarily NBA Top Shot, NFL All Day, etc., you want to go do that at floaty.io. Now, without any further ado, remember that nothing in this episode should be considered financial advice, and let's jump right into it. All right. How is everybody doing? We're all more floatied up than usual today. As a reminder, we are sponsored by Floaty, and we will have some Floaty education in the middle of the show per usual. Floaty.io. That's where you go. All right. So we have an interesting show today. We have a guest who is not from our usual Top Shot circle. He is the prophet of props, a real life prophet. And I found him on Twitter, and he gives out his picks, and he talks about every night he's choosing like NBA plays. He focuses on the NBA as far as I know. And he also has his own stream as well. And so I thought it'd be interesting to have him on today and just hear from him and show him a little bit about Top Shot Fast Break and see if he had any interesting takes there, interesting ideas of how to approach that coming from the props world. So let's look at some more comments here in the chat. We got our Twitch guy. Should we already hit that? Should we hit it nice and early? Let's do it.
Twitch guy!
That's right. We got our Twitch guy. Hello, bag holder. How are you? We got Jesse's here and RRX. RRX is your source for Realms information. Go follow him for that. And we got Jump Shoot and Jesse, and yeah, I said Jesse already, but anyway, Top Shot Hot Shot says he bought roughly 40 moments today on Floaty. So there you go. That tells you everything. And Stan Loves, I don't know, maybe he wasn't here the last time, but I think he approves of the video. But anyway, Matt's in the background, aka Prophet. So Matt, just give me a wave when you feel like you've done enough research. Okay, he's good to go. So let's bring on Matt. I think we'll give him a hacking the code, because he is looking through all the data every night trying to find the edge when it comes to betting on props on the NBA. Here we go.
Hello, Yo, thanks for having me on, man.
Thank you for being here. I mean, I think that some of the other prop accounts were just like, what? Like, what are you talking about, man? What's Fast Break exactly? But I'm glad that you're here. So tell the people a little bit about yourself who may not know much about you. I mean, I think there's a lot we could cover here, but you are in the props game. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I bet full-time for a living. NBA is kind of my main focus. I do props and sides, but I think a lot of the following that I have is more interested in the prop side of things, so I do devote a lot of time there. And to be honest, I had not heard of Fast Break until you reached out to me, but I do think it is a pretty cool concept. And I do see the similarities because there's value in both buying the packs that have the players that you want in them, and then the competition. It sounds like you were competing for extra packs. Is that correct?
Yeah. So basically the way that it works is that every night you're competing against, well, and technically you're competing against everyone else that's playing. So I think on the last run, there was something like 4,000 people or 3,000 or 4,000 people every night putting in lineups. And if you get the best lineup with the most points in that given night, you win a moment, usually of a pretty decent value. I mean, that could be anywhere from like a $75 moment all the way up to like a $1,000 moment, depending on the night, just kind of luck of the draw. You also, the top 25 people also win these called quick rip packs, which have like a value of around $10 if you were to go buy them. There's also other things. There's like Survivor. How long can you have a winning streak? You can get cool stuff by winning that way as well. But basically at the end of the game, you are trying to get a certain amount of wins. So let's say it's a 16 night run. If you get four measly wins, you get a pack with like two moments in them, pretty low resale value. Let's call it $4. You get an 8 or 9. It's more, maybe around $20 to $30. And if you can get 12, which is like the tippy top, then I don't even know what people are buying those for, but probably a couple $100, $200 or $300. So if you were to break it down by like monetary value, that's what it would look like. So I think that might be interesting to people who like to play props, because I think people who are gambling, people who are playing props, obviously the money side probably trumps everything else. So it's important, I would say, to understand that side of things.
Yeah, and I think it is cool how there's a target, like a goal you have to reach. Now, is there value in finding, because it's moments that you already hold. So is there value in finding players that are cheaper? Does that make sense?
Yes. So on the most basic common level is what they're called. So there's basically three main tiers of moments that you can buy. On the common tier, it's very, very low cost for the most part, unless you're buying a rookie. Rookies are some of the only players that don't have a very cheap common tier. So like 98% of the platform is $1 that common tier. But let's say you want a Wembanyama, there's no common Wembanyama. So if you want a Wembanyama and you want blocks night, then you're going to have to fork over like over $300 for a Wembanyama. So that's on that side of things. The rare side of things and the legendary side of things are more expensive. So there, yes, you can get a little more crafty and you could say like, oh, well, you know, people are undervaluing, let's say Bam Adebayo, his rare moment, which gets you two uses over the course of the run, is only $16 compared to, let's say, a Sabonis, which is almost $40.
Okay.
You're way better off buying that Bam Adebayo, just kind of value for your money. So there are more sort of crafty decision-making in that tier, I'd say.
I honestly think I think that would be appealing to a lot of people in the betting marketplace as well. But I think there is, as we were talking before, there is some like things that I would do to kind of put myself in the best position to win. I think that it's maybe common sense things, but maybe not common sense things. I would target players, like you said, it starts tomorrow.
Yeah.
So for points, I think if where I started, and I'm going to assume most of your followers, because they're following this, are probably somewhat knowledgeable about the NBA and basketball, right?
Yeah, they are.
That's what I assumed. So this might be common sense things, but I would target high scoring games. I don't know that you guys follow sports betting markets, But so for tomorrow, there's some lines up already for Golden State, Toronto. Totals on those 240 points.
Yeah.
So there's going to be some second tier players, I think, in that game where they're going to be cheaper than general. I think, you know, in terms of the top shot world, but they're going to have more scoring potentials because the pace is going to be higher. Guys like maybe Jonathan Kuminga, trying to think, maybe even Klay Thompson. I don't know what Klay Thompson's worth because he's been super popular, but he's having a down year. So I don't know. But I think that might be a player to target. Kyrie will be back in Boston. I think that's an interesting position. And Kristaps Porzingis will also be playing Dallas, who he tends to play well against teams he played for before.
Okay.
Plays harder against them. So those are kind of some things that I would bring from the betting world to try to help me in the fast break world.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That's definitely something that I look at. I mean, right now this time zone thing's all screwed up because I'm in Europe, so it's showing like midnight. But if I think I have to go here, and that'll show the later night games. Yeah, there's the Mavs versus the Celtics. So there's some pretty high scoring games. Like around 238 or 237.5 for Mavs Celtics. Same thing for Warriors Raptors.
I think Pacers, anytime that you're gonna, because everything of this will be over a certain number, right? So I think Pacers will generally be a good team to try to find, like any Pacers game, just because of the pace of that game. So the Pelicans, Hawks, you know, I'm sure a lot of you guys are familiar, but the more up-paced teams would be the teams that I would look to exploit if I were trying to win, you know, prizes.
Yeah, sure. So that would be night one. And I think I had that spreadsheet up and now I lost it, but yeah, the chalk picks for night one, which is points, are players like Luka Doncic, Giannis, Kawhi. I mean, actually not Kawhi, but I'm sharing my screen here, which is like, this is a, for those of you who don't know about this in the chat, this is a guy in the community named D Barry. And he creates these spreadsheets for planning ahead for the week for fast break. And so night one, you can see it's not that terrible. It's 130. There's other nights in the run that are 150. And you can win a LeBron James video game numbers. And so, like, obviously chalk right here. I'm going pretty chalky with my first two, Luka and Giannis. And this might be changed in the future. But then after that, I have Edwards, Kawhi, and I guess this is my only non-chalk player here, which is Kobe White. So another part of the game that I think is kind of interesting, which we didn't really talk about too much, is the fact that you have to save players. So, like, for example, there's people in this chat that probably only have one of the Luka Doncic. So then you'd have to look through the schedule and say, like, all right, you got points, you got assists, rebounds, free throws, etc. And then you'd have to sort of save some players for later because you don't want to waste them. Or you think that there might be another night. For example, I'll just show you an example of what I'm talking about. Like something like this one, where right now if I keep this lineup based on their averages, I won't pass. I won't have enough threes, right?
Right.
So this would be something where, like, well, maybe I should swap out Derek White and put in DiVincenzo, but I can't because I've already used DiVincenzo. So that's part of the game as well. I mean, there's a lot of little wrinkles like that.
Have you ever heard of a survivor, like Circus Survivor, anything like that? Survivor tournaments for like NFL?
I have played like survivor games. There's a sports betting website that I used to use. I think covers.com is what it's called.
Yeah.
And yeah. So that had like a survivor style game where you just choose a side and you just have to beat the spread every day.
So this kind of reminds me, it's different, but similar in the sense that in survivors, you can only use a team once. Here it's kind of based off of what you own. To my understanding, right? If you own a gold Luka, you might have two or three times to use him. But what I would do as a bettor, the first thing I would do is I would probably go through the slate. It's only 16 days, right?
Yeah.
So I would go find the days where there's maybe only three, four, five games, and I would take care of those first. Because they're going to be the hardest days to hit. Assuming that Because I know you said some days you have to get to like 150 points opposed to 130, et cetera, right?
Yeah, and they put that at the end of the run. They're very sneaky because they put it at the end of the run when most people have already used all their chalk. So yeah. It's like 150 points. You can see now I'm totally punting that day as of right now, which is it's very hard to get 150 points.
You'd need five guys to score 30 points essentially.
Exactly. Like, it's super chalk. And Embiid is injured. I don't think as far as I know, he's not coming back in the next 2 weeks.
No.
But like, sure, Edwards would probably be a better pick. I've already used Edwards, you know. I don't even know who else, honestly. Like Curry, I guess, could go off. I've already used him as well. So that's definitely an interesting point that you bring up, which is maybe I should start at the most difficult days. But at the same time, sometimes those days are so difficult that literally like three or four people out of 3,000 get it right. So sometimes you just have to punt.
And that was actually what I was going to say. I would maybe even consider punting the most difficult days. Don't save anything for those. It's going to be so hard to win that day.
Right.
You know, use your best things elsewhere. This would be, you know, this is kind of, I guess, the betting perspective, but use those elsewhere. Try to win. Pick your best spots. But yeah, the first thing I would do, I think, is I would go address the days with the fewest amount of games. Because those may be the days you have to use a Luka to get over the threshold, you know, because you might only have one guy going 27, 28 plus points per game or whatever the stat category may be. Assists, I see three-pointers, I see rebounds. Day 12 is actually really interesting to me. That would be kind of hard to handicap, but would be interesting. 7 blocks and 40 points in the paint. That's that 50 rebounds and 5 blocks on day 17. Those are things that I've never had to try to handicap before, but I do think would be quite interesting.
Yeah, those are the nights where you have to start begging people in the DMs to lend you a Chet and a Wemby. that's just me. Or go to Floaty and rent one. But yeah, I think those are all really interesting ideas so far, especially the one about the less games in a night. So I'm going to give you this drop.
That is a good idea.
Yeah, I wrote it down.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I like that. I'll be honest with you. How long have you been doing these streams?
A couple years, I think.
Okay. In full honesty, I'm jealous of all of the things like you've got like little cutscenes and already. Like I would love to add that to my stream game. I'm like a couple months into it. But no, I do like the cuts you have. The 5-minute download. Like I just run crappy lo-fi music for a couple minutes to let everybody get in. And then the cutscenes you have. And it's like I can tell you've been doing it because like they come to you. Immediately you're like, oh, I'll do this. So I really like the way you've got it ran here.
I'll take it.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I can give you a rundown after the show, and you know, I'll show you how it's done.
That's awesome. I use StreamYard as well, so yeah, perfect.
Yeah, totally can give you the rundown then. So yeah, so I think that's some interesting takes then. And what's funny too is that like some people just wing it. Like Banana over here, she just wings it. And I know people like that I talk to as well. They're like, what, you plan ahead? Like I just click around. And if I happen to be playing Cole Anthony as my best player that night, so be it. And Mr. GB is asking, where is this planner? So Mr. GB, I believe you have to go on the Discord. If you ask around in the Fast Break Discord on Top Shot, also D Barry, I think, is a big contributor to the Boards to Buckets Discord. So go ask around those two communities and you will find it. See, like people like this, who has time for planning? Exactly. Mm-hmm. It does take a solid like 15 minutes. Not too bad. But yeah. So what else do you think? I'm actually kind of curious about, you know, you are someone who does have some knowledge of NBA Top Shot, but yep. You told
very
me that
little,
you
little.
Very little, but you like got in when everyone was talking about it and sort of that was it.
Yep.
But as someone who's not into, as far as I know, you're not really into like digital collectibles. Let's say you are a sports bettor. That's what you're into.
Yep.
Does seeing a game like this, does it cause any interest, or does it still feel like, well, that would still be kind of a lot of work for me to get a hold of? to do?
No, it is interesting for me. And I think, I know when you and I were talking, you said they kind of flooded the market and that brought values down.
Yeah.
But I believe if you're looking at it long-term, kind of, maybe not short-term, I think it's more affordable for people.
Yeah.
And I think that makes it more intriguing to people who can play it passively. You know, you don't have to bet, you don't have to invest a whole lot into it. You could, I don't know, it sounds like you could invest $100 and have quite a stack of collectibles. So
that is true.
I think it's honestly more appealing to me now, knowing that when I first got into it, it was like you said, it was brand new. I was just trying to log on. I think I've got 4 or 5 moments. I've bought a couple packs, and then I bought a LeBron moment outright, and it was $20 at the time. And I am so naive about it. I don't know if it was what ranking it was. But no, I mean, this has kind of intrigued me to get back into it, especially the fast break portion of it, more so than just owning it. You know, it feels like there's something to do with these opposed to just owning them.
Yeah. That's my point. And that's why I'm pretty like optimistic about it, actually, because up until this point, it really was purely a collectible, and there were games, let's put them in quotes, that you could play, but it was sort of a weird version of fantasy where, like, after the night was over, it would say, here's the 5 top scorers. Now create like a showcase, including those players, and you'll win something. And so it was like after the fact, which is a little weird.
Yeah.
And there's still people who were playing speculatively, and there was part of that was actually fun because it was happening, you know, moments would go soar and crash depending on like who was getting the most assists that night or something like that. But yeah, I really like this. And I think that for people who like props, it just seems like a very low risk, sort of fun way of doing something like this. And you'll see if you play around with it, like the UI is incredible now. Very easy to play, just looks great. And if you go to the sponsor of the show, Floaty, you will see that you can actually get moments for under $1. And that's actually the topic today. So actually, that's a good excuse for me to just play this 1 minute little roll right here, and then we'll be right back. Did you know you can buy trade tickets on Floaty for way less than $1? In fact, currently the floor price of trade tickets is 39 cents, and there's over 9,000 of them for sale. Look how easy it is. Go to floaty.io, go to the Top Shot Marketplace, and on purchase price on the left, you're going to type in 99 cents, and that'll show you that there are currently 9,502. But let's say you only want to spend 49 cents. Well, there's still a bunch of them, 660. Click sort by price, and you can see the lowest options first. And while we're talking about filters, did you know that Floaty has a ton of filters you can use? Scroll down and look what you got. You got a number one serial filter you can turn on. You got a jersey match serial you can turn on. And you got a perfect serial that you can turn on. Let's see those perfect serials. They're so perfect. There you go. So filters on Floaty, it's the place to do it. And if you want to learn more, if you want to join their Discord or follow their socials, please check the show notes. Now back to the show.
Well, there is the ad. But yeah, so Floaty is a place. So if you feel like you want to build a lineup, I mean, you might not be able to get all the chalk for 39 cents, but you'll definitely be able to get a bunch of players that you might want for like 39 cents or 40 cents or whatever it is at the moment. So what else? Why don't you tell us a little bit about, so you said that you are a full-time sports gambler, yep. And that's how you make your living. When you said that, I was actually pretty damn surprised, because I have like some background in sports betting. I used to be a complete degenerate. Like I started when I was like 18, my friend opened an account on a website called Sports Interaction. I don't know if you ever heard of that website. And yep. we just did huge parlays every night. Like we would try to hit like 18 parlays and we'd put $2 mm-hmm. down. And anyways, I actually did have some success with sports betting, but what was my downfall was I had a bit of a downtrend. I had like a really bad month or something like that. I was just getting my ass kicked over and over again. I started degenerating into the weirdest stuff. I was betting on like WNBA. I was betting on like,
you know, soccer in Afghanistan. I was betting on like, you know, tennis. I don't even watch tennis. And eventually I just like went on full tilt and just put my whole account. I split it up in like four bets. It went 0-4. And I was like, that's it. I'm done here. So I'm curious, just I wonder if there's any takeaways that you have about like how you're able to make that work, because I'm genuinely curious about it.
Yeah. So first of all, I definitely had a couple of those moments before I was ever successful at betting, but it was always with like small amounts of money. Like I'd throw like maybe 100, 200, 300 bucks in my bankroll, win a couple bets in a row, but then I'd do what just exactly what you said. And I would overextend myself, which is layman's terms, just betting too much compared to what I have. But then COVID, so betting went legal in around 2018, 2019, in two of the states that are really close to me. I mean, within a 10-minute drive either direction. So you could say I was just betting passively for about a year. COVID came. I was partially invested with my dad into a business. I got out of that, got a little bit of money, competed in a DraftKings National Championship, just sports betting tournament, ended up placing there, getting another stack of money. And then, are you from those states?
Yeah.
So do you remember when every time a state would go legal, every book would have a bunch of deposit bonuses?
Okay.
And literally all I would do for a while is ride around, drive to every state that had just launched and bet into those deposit bonuses. Really, a lot of times just two accounts against each other, take the free 900 and roll. Mm. And then I came across the podcast called Be Better Betters. Shout outs to this guy named Spanky. He's a legend in the industry. And basically his podcast teaches you how to treat sports betting like the stock market. Props are the same way. Let's say LeBron's points tonight is sitting at 22.5 points when the market opens up. If the market moves to 23, 24, 25.5 points on LeBron, if you can get the 22.5, there's something called the efficient market theory. And I hope I'm not sounding too boring here.
No, that's all. It's good. We can all look into it later.
The efficient market theory essentially states that if you beat the closing number before tip off, so if I bet 22.5 and by the time it closes, it's 24.5, I'm betting the over. I'm going to win more times than I'm not. And that's because the amount of money coming into the market makes it efficient. There's people betting overs and unders. It's a very simplified way of saying all that. But that's essentially how I got my in into the industry. And
something so simple like that.
Yeah. And it gets harder than that, because once you learn how to do that, then you start dealing with books limiting you, which is something that I deal with a lot, which, you know, one thing about NBA Top Shot, I guess you don't have to worry about that. But so, I mean, now it's a whole different process. I do it a little different now because sports books don't like when you continually beat the closing line. That's generally when you get limited. So now I have a computer model that helps me win without having to win beat the closing line by as much. And it helps keep the accounts alive longer. And it's also harder. It's harder at the beginning of every season as I'm fine tuning it, but by the middle to end of every season, the model's kind of running itself, and I just might have to take, you know, injury news into account, or, you know, maybe some back to back stuff. But yeah, that's kind of how I got my in. It's called steam chasing. So I basically just tried to beat the closing line as much as possible, build a bankroll doing that. And now And don't get me wrong, it's a hard way to make an easy living. Mm. So yeah, I mean, I probably work 60 hours a week in the NBA. Damn. Now in the MLB season, it's much less, and I golf more. So, I mean, there's perks of it. NBA and NFL seasons, I'm very busy. And then come June to August, there's a lot of time for golf, you know?
And so this is what you cover, because you have a stream as well at twitch.tv/profitprops. Yep. And that's what you cover, like the steam chasing
and player props every single day. I have a Discord that's free. And I just give out all my plays for free. And I've got a nice little community over there. Just clipped 7,000 followers today on Twitter. My Discord's more private. I think we got 150, 200 people. But yeah, I mean, we just, you know, give prop and, or throwing prop ideas back and forth. This Top Shot, if you want sleepers, the stream might be somewhere you could find sleepers. And honestly, I take requests. So if somebody pops in tomorrow and says, hey, I'm playing Top Shot, how do I get to 150 points? I'd be more than happy to help you.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. I mean, I've heard something about, what's it called? When you try to find lines of a player on two different books, and if there's like a difference, then you just
arbitrage.
Sort of, yeah, you do arbitrage, but that's not what you were talking about. Steam chasing is not arbitrage.
Correct. And well, and here's the funny thing. It's a risk tolerance thing. I'm not against arbitrage. And if you had a lot more money than me, you probably would arbitrage more. So I find myself, I try to get myself in the positions where I have 6, 7, 8% edges. And that means over the course of time, I believe that I'll get a 6, 7, 8% return on investment, which is proven long-term to be true. I mean, I've had months where I've had 25% return on investment, and I've had months where I've been negative. But you know, over the course of my pro betting career, probably 4 years now, 6 to 8 is really what I expect. I'm sorry, I totally lost. Where was I going with that? I'm sorry.
I forget the question. it was just kind of about like about what you're doing with the steam chasing, with the arbitrage. Because basically, just to like put a ribbon in it. So what I understand arbitrage, you find different books and you find a line that's slightly different to your favor, and then you bet both sides and then you win either way. But I think what you're talking about, the steam chasing idea, was like if you said if LeBron opens at 22, but by the time the game starts, he's at 25, then in theory you're in a good shape. But how do you know to do something like that? Isn't that luck? Isn't that just because enough people have also bet the over that they're putting it higher, the line higher?
Two responses. First, with the arbitrage and me going off about the edges, generally with arbitrage, you're only getting about 1 to 2%. Okay. So it's less return on investment, but it's guaranteed. So that's kind of the beauty of it, right?
Yeah.
Now, it's funny you say that, because that is kind of like an argument. And I used props as an example because that's what Top Shot is. A more specific example may be using like an NFL side or total. Yeah. But because when you say LeBron over, like that could be just public. So and that's why it got bought up. Pardon me. But if we're talking about, you know, Chiefs 49ers -3, you can get -3 when it closes -5. In my opinion, that's not luck. There's way too much money being bet in the NFL by professional groups for that number to ever get that far off of what different people's models get to. So the reason I think the market's efficient, because I might have Niners -5, and I'm not saying I'm great, but let's say that I'm great and let's say that you're great. If I have Niners -5 and you have Niners -3, Niners -4 is probably the right answer. And if we both have a lot of money, we're good. The market's going to get to that number. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the loose definition or explanation of the efficient market theory.
Okay. I think, I mean, instead of going down a rabbit hole here, I'll ask you later.
Okay.
But I think that is kind of interesting that you said you've turned it into kind of an efficient way of investing. You're treating it like a stock market. I assume that you avoid tilt now in your old age with the beard. You know,
yes, but I have been off tilt before. I do understand. I've been there before. Yeah, no, I've bet my whole bankroll on one stupid play. I've been there. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah. All right. Well, that makes sense. Let's see. What else do we have here? What about like the, I know that you have a t-shirt there about props.cash. Is that what you use to like find your edges when you're looking at the props for the different players? Do you use any other websites? What are the things that you like to use to try to find what you think are some edges?
Props.cash is huge. I use them as a reference point. I like to say that a lot. I don't just bet because somebody's hit in seven of the last games or something, but it does help me show, it does help show consistency. And I've actually built a computer model. So just how the books have numbers for all of these plays, I have my own numbers.
Okay.
I did that using mostly Excel, a little bit of Python, and I just pull everything from Basketball Reference and NBA.com and TeamRankings.com, three good sources for information. But NBA.com and Props.cash will give you all the player data you need. Mm. Props.cash will get it to you faster and cleaner, but it's $19.99 a month, whereas NBA.com, you can find whatever you want for free. Just takes a little more digging around.
Yeah, all right. Because there is an element of that when we're talking about fast break, because obviously you got your props every night, your group props. Like, I can show you something that I have sometimes looked at as well. I don't know if you've ever heard of this website. What's it called? Scoresandodds.com. Basically, it just shows you what the odds are that night, and it looks like it's pulling it in from multiple sports books.
Great free source. I have used them in the past.
Right. So what's cool there is, it shows you, like, you could bet the over 30.5 or the under 31.5. So technically there's some arbitrage there, I think, if I'm figuring that out correctly, although the lines are heavier on the under, so you maybe not even making any money, but at least you can see who Vegas thinks are the top scorers of that night. Like, are there, I guess if you want, have you already made like your picks for today or?
I have two plays out for today. I had four plays out initially, but two of the guys I bet on are injured. Mm. So Jimmy Butler over PRAs. This might be, if you want to pull it up, a good example of closing line value or me getting a good number. I played it at points, rebounds, and assists. 30.5. I forget. It's probably sitting at 30, 31 now, if not in that mood because Tyler Hero. So yeah, 29.5 was where it opened. That's where we played it. And then 31.5. Now, what you're seeing there, that difference, we would call that a middle because there's no guaranteed profit. So it's not an arbitrage, but there's a chance you hit both of those bets, right? Mm-hmm. Because he could have 30 or 31 points and now you hit both of those bets. That is also another very affordable form of betting.
Right. So tonight you're taking Jimmy Butler over points, rebounds, assist because of the injury to Tyler Hero.
Yeah, and I actually modeled that number closer to 34.
Interesting. Okay. Yep. So I there are sometimes combinations. I don't think that we've done points, rebounds, assists yet on Fast Break, but I'm sure we could in the future.
I do see some cool things that Top Shot does that I've not seen done before that I think, they have a 3-point attempts and a free throw attempts. Like, there's cool things there that I haven't seen done before, but they're very interesting.
Yeah. It's very much unlike the Vegas market because those are not common prop bets. But at the same time, if you're someone who enjoys prop betting, you probably get a kick out of that. Like, oh, I get to bet on free throws made and free throws attempted. I have to try to figure out, you know, the best rebounds and blocks. Cause usually I think it's steals and blocks that people do betting on. So yeah, that's cool as well. Well, I know you only have like a few more minutes. So people in the chat, if you'd like to ask a real life prophet any questions.
That's a good one. I'm going to have to hold on to that one. I haven't heard that one yet. That's a good one.
If you'd like to ask Matt the prophet props, any questions, throw them into the chat. And let's see. Should we do the dogs, the Q&A? Let's do it.
Check the mic and make sure it sound right, boys.
Yeah, I feel like this chat is almost 100% NBA Top Shot related, and maybe they could have some questions for you around Fast Break. But so far, just people ask, oh, there you go. Stan loves asking, what are your Heat odds for the East? What does that mean, Stan? Does that mean if he thinks the Heat are going to win the East? Or I'm not sure exactly what he's asking there, but you could wax poetic about the Heat. How do you feel about the Miami Heat?
I do think that they're probably undervalued in the market. I think I saw them priced at around +1200 to +1400 to come out of the East. Maybe that was to win the championship. I don't have like an official number. Like my handicapping is a more game by game basis. What you could do, like if you wanted to run a math equation, you would take the strength of their schedule, their offensive and net rate, offensive and defensive net rating, and try to come up with like a number that correlates to an odd. So let's say, I don't know, 32% maybe, and I'm just throwing something out. Please don't think that I think that. And then you would take the implied probability. I use somewhere called actionnetwork.com, and that's how you can convert. They have a odds calculator. You can convert what you think the percentage is based to what that value would be. But I don't bet a lot of futures, honestly. Do I think that the Heat are probably underdogs? Or I'm sorry, undervalued? Yes. But they've been an 8 seed 2 years in a row and have given 1 seeds runs for their money, or at least play in teams, I should say. So yeah, no, Heat are definitely undervalued.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I didn't realize actually that the Heat are 5th in the East right now. I didn't even know that. That's because in the last 10, they're 8-2 in their last 10. They've won 5 straight. So the Heat are a very hot team at the moment.
Pardon me, people that watch my stream will know I complain a lot about Jimmy Butler because he's the kind of player that coasts through the first 40 games of the season. And now, as you said, they've won 8 of their last 10. Jimmy even said after a win, it was the game he got kicked out of. He said, now's my time. Like he's basically saying, now's when I'm going to try.
Yeah.
And as a prop bettor, you know, that frustrates me because I see matchups where he could ball. And I'm like, you know what? It's mid-January. Jimmy's not going to ball. If that same game happens mid-March, he's going to have 27 opposed to 20.
So that right there could be a little bit of fast break alpha because honestly, I agree with you. Yes. Like I almost never use Jimmy Butler for the reasons you've stated.
But now's the time of year he might be worth. He might be a sleeper this time of year, seriously.
There you go, folks. There's a little bit of alpha for you. Who is your pick though? If you want to go broad NBA basketball fan, like who do you have coming out of the East and the West? Do you have ideas for that already?
Yeah, I think it's going to be hard for anyone to beat Celtics 4 times on their floor.
Amen.
So I think the Celtics come out of the East. I think the West is a little more up for grabs. I think the Clippers have a shot. Nuggets are the defending champions. Obviously, got to give them. I would say Nuggets are my most likely team to come out. But if you told me Thunder, Clippers, even Timberwolves, I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, the Suns have KD and Kevin Booker. It's really hard to do the West. I mean, can you completely rule out LeBron and AD? I don't know. And, you know, Steph Curry, I mean, they just won the chip back in 2022. I think the West is wide open. I think the East runs through Boston. I think the West runs through Denver. Don't get me wrong, but I just think it's a lot more up for grabs.
Yeah. Yeah. My picks right now are the Nuggets and the Celtics. I'm a big Celtics homer, so it's no surprise here every year.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, no, I think the East runs through Boston, bro.
Oh, there we go. Look at that. We got Boston base is also a big Celtics homer.
And okay.
This guy knows his stuff.
Absolutely.
We like to give him a little ice cream so good. So thank you, Boston base, ice cream so good. Yes, yes, yes.
I love that.
All right. So look, sounds like you like the Celtics, which I like to hear. Yep. All right. There's a couple other questions here. Here's a kind of like a technical sports betting one. Do your projections sometimes conflict with your intuition about the game that you can't quantify last minute, such as injuries on other players that will increase his opportunities, etc.?
Yeah, that's something that I've struggled with. And there was a point in this season even where I went through a little bit of a downstretch. I want to say it was right around Thanksgiving. And I had to take a step back and quit playing things that I liked and only play plays that I loved. Because I would find myself in situations like this, like maybe my data would say one thing, but then the eyeball test or, you know, maybe the matchup said another thing. So, yeah, that's absolutely something that I've had to kind of bounce back and forth with.
Sure. That makes sense. But that's cool that you've like created a model that sort of guides you along. So if you feel like going full tilt or you feel like making, you know, decisions with your with your heart instead of your head, you get sort of backed up a little bit there.
I will say this, just for anyone that is betting, I only ever bet 1-2% of my entire bankroll on a play. Those things that could change if I'm doing something like we've talked about with like an arbitrage or a middle, I could extend myself to 25-30%, but that's because I'm guaranteeing that I'm either going to make a little bit or I'm in a middle situation where I lose quite a little bit or make it big. So that's just one other thing I think that's super very important for anyone that is betting. Unit management is what we call that. Set aside a number that if you lost would not derail you, and then bet 1% of that and you'll be fine. I promise. It's people, great. You know, that says, hey, I got $100 this paycheck extra. I want to bet all of it on one play, and then they lose and then they chase. And it's like, set aside a reasonable number and then bet 1-2% of that. And then, you know, you'll never be in that situation.
That's a smart advice right there. Well, look, I know that's your time. If you're in the chat, go ahead and find Matt, AKA Profit Props. He's on Twitter, AKA X at Profit Props One. And he streams every day, right? So if you want to try to get a little alpha, and you could even ask questions about Fast Break on there too. And
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I think to close it out, Stan Loves wanted you to see the handshake. So we're going to let you see the handshake and then we'll let you go. Here, let's show him the handshake, everyone.
So I think I appreciate it. Yeah, man, that was an awkward fist bump.
That's hilarious.
That has a long backstory. It's going to take too long to explain it to you. But anyway, Matt, I'll let you go. I'll keep going with the chat for 10 more minutes or so. But thank you so much for making the time. It was really interesting chatting with you. It was really interesting kind of hearing your perspective and learning about something that we don't normally talk about. So, thank you very much. All right, Matt, well, take care. And I'll definitely keep track of what you're up to and tell you about how to do all these videos.
Sounds good, man. I appreciate it.
All right, take care. All right, well, that was Matt, AKA Profit Props. So I hope you guys enjoyed that and definitely got a little bit of education in areas that we don't usually talk about. We still have like 10 minutes or so. I wanted to run down a few NBA Top Shot related things. And we also have our Zion Williamson giveaway. So you will be able to win that very shortly. Or will it be a Mariah Mills JPEG? Which one would you prefer? Maybe we'll give away both. One person will win a picture of Mariah Mills. Anyway, so like there's a lot going on NBA Top Shot at the moment. There's a whole lot of packs. There's like the team packs that just came out. There's new packs that were just announced, the video game numbers. So there's like a lot of packs at the moment. I think it's still like reasonable though. I still don't feel like it's affecting super negatively liquidity. Let's say it's not like everyone's spending all their money on packs and there's just too many packs. I don't feel like we're at that point. I think the team packs are sort of a fun little careless rip. It's like $2. I mean, you could be a sicko like Boston Base and buy like 200 of them, but most of you probably don't. We also had the leaderboards just now. So there's a lot of stuff going on at the moment. There's also the leaderboard quick rip pack, which I think is kind of interesting because people are burning a lot of stuff for quick rips. So like we can share that, even though my browser is all weird, but we can share that. So this is the quick rip. All right. It ends in 2 hours. The top 100 collectors will get a quick rip pack. So this is the same pack, if I'm understanding this correctly, that you could get for 10 trade tickets yesterday. I entered that draw. I was able to get a couple of packs and use 20 trade tickets. And you just have to submit any common moments from any all-star. So I think it's great. I mean, look, I know a lot of people want to lean into burning and want to lean into crafting, you know, your Bremiras of the world. And you know what? It's absolutely true. And Steve said something about this earlier too. Like, why aren't we leaning into the common side of burning and crafting? And this is what that looks like. And obviously we'd like to see this on even a larger scale. Because that's what makes sense. Let people get rid of their Flotsam and their Jetsam. And so you can see that someone has burned 106 moments to get what is a $10 pack by all, I mean, by all estimations, right? But you see that people are willing to burn a lot. And whether or not that's a good financial decision, it doesn't actually matter, because people make questionable financial decisions just for a chance at something good. So the fact that people are burning 50, 60, 79, 106 commons to get their hands on a quick rip, that's really good for everybody else. So, and it doesn't hurt anyone, and everyone should be embracing this, and we should see as much of this as possible. And so let's see more and more of this from NBA Top Shot. We also have our new pack, the video game numbers pack, which is one of my favorite rare packs, honestly. I think it's a great offering, and it looks like the moments are pretty damn good this time around. I mean, I don't really see any duds. You probably don't want to rip Desmond Bane because he's injured. Obviously, there's no value there in terms of fast break. I don't know when he's coming back, but you know he plays for the Hospital Grizzlies, so they'll probably let him sit if my estimation will be correct. Trae Young is also injured, so those would probably unfortunately be your duds, but through no fault of their own. Everyone else is like very solid. I mean, this is a very good pack, if I do say myself. You can rip a LeBron, a Booker, can't be mad at a Booker, a Kyrie, a Murray, a Sengun, a Tatum, a Lillard, and a Curry. Like, you can do pretty damn well in this drop. And then, of course, you have your extra spices and your fresh threads and whatnot. And let's just see, does it say about like anything else? So you'll get six moments. Oh, what? There's a chance at a holo. That doesn't sound, is that true? Or am I reading this wrong? So you have a guarantee at a rare video game numbers, and then you have a 25% at another video game numbers and a 0.5% at a holo. So that's pretty damn good. I'd say that this is a pack that you probably want to get your hands on. So yeah, I guess that's all I have to say about that. That's pretty damn good. That's what's going on with packs, right? And otherwise, what else do you guys want to talk about? Anyway, MBL's right here. Get those likes up. That's right. If you want to win this Zion, you have to be subscribed and you have to like the stream. Stop being too cool for school. Like the stream. 28 viewers, 14 likes. Get those likes up. I should have put subscriber mode only also, but I feel like all of you are subscribers anyway to chat. But yeah, you have to like the stream to be eligible, or else I will hunt you down. And let's see what else. So RRX agrees, really solid set of players in this drop. And K Dunn says, cheaper to sell them for 30 cents on Floaty and buy off the pack marketplace. Surely, I mean, that is something people could do. And Boston Bay says they are out of 499. Oh, is that true? What is that not what they were out of the last time? I mean, I would think that's not, would not be the case. I think that's the same. It's out of 499. If someone wants to fact check real quick, Bodlewine says it's a very healthy market. You heard it here first. And top 50 leaderboards are live. And what else? RRX says he got his subby on today. There you go. Some people aren't subbed. You got a sub. You got a sub. Let's see. And Bodlewine says, not to get too spicy, but how's your BB impression these days? Oh, man. I think that might get me canceled, Bodlewine. You know, we got to keep it professional. If you give me something to talk about, I can try. But I actually haven't been listening to too much Bibi Netanyahu lately. So I have not been sharpening the blade of my Bibi Netanyahu impression. Yeah, Boston Base is like, please don't do it. All right. And otherwise, the only thing that we also did not talk about, which I feel like we should have talked about a little bit, is the hacks. I don't know about you guys, but that was the weirdest shit I've seen in a while. First it was Woj, then it was the guy from what was it, like Pardon My Take or something? Was it called Barstool? Or I don't remember, but it was three fairly large Twitter accounts were tweeting, and Woj being the largest one, tweeting that If you click here, you can use your Ethereum wallet to get an NBA Top Shot pack. And people had some funny things to say. And I saw that AG, although AG might have, I don't know where he would get this number from, but on some thread, he said something like, it's not funny. People lost $80,000 falling for that scam. And I thought to myself, if that's true, that blows my mind completely. Unless it was like one dummy who had like $80,000 of USDC coin in his wallet and he just connected his wallet and got his money stolen. That would probably make the most sense to me. But are people actually falling for that? Like, it's kind of incredible. And if you read the comments too, it's interesting too to see like the average Joe's opinion too of this stuff about like NFTs, about NBA Top Shot. It's interesting to just go and read through it. But I think that at the end of the day, having people talk about NBA Top Shot, even if it's a wallet drainer, it still is a good thing. It's still a positive. And Steve actually shared the Google Trend chart. It showed that the interest or the search of NBA Top Shot went way up after these hacks. So I think that's all well and good, actually. And when is Woj going to correct himself to his loyal followers and give the real link? That's what we all want to know, right? Isn't that what he should do? We can wish. We can wish for things. Anyway, why don't we do our Zion giveaway? So let me go set it up. We're going to just do it nice and easy, I think, tonight. Let's do it. I got to connect the back-end giveaway tool. It makes it nice and fast. So I want you to type in, Zion loves soda. No, let's just do soda. That's easier. Hashtag soda. Okay. We're going to do hashtag soda to be eligible for the Zion Williamson throwdown rare moment. That was a by and away, by far and away, the most popular moment that you guys wanted to win was this Zion Williamson throwdown. I thought that maybe the DeRozan was a good one. The Jared Allen was a good one. These are all good options to use for fast break. But someone is going to walk away with a Zion Williamson throwdown moment. Hashtag soda. Make sure you have liked the stream and subscribed to the channel. Why wouldn't you subscribe to the channel? We are going to be doing giveaways every week. Thanks to the fine people at Floaty, we're going to be giving things away every week. And you already saw on the Twitter thread, we got a DeRozan, we got a Jared Allen, and we got a playoff P, Paul George, one of the most talented playoff performers in NBA history. Or so they say. So I see some of the names I haven't seen lately. I think they just show up at the end to write hashtag soda, but that's okay. And some of you are new names, so make sure you're subscribed. I forgot again to do the subscribers only thing. Next week I'll remember. But please subscribe. Please like the stream. And that way we can do this more often. If we can build the channel, build the popularity, keep the relationship going nice and strong, you will see more and more giveaways and more good vibes. And so on and so forth. So let's see here. Bob DeWine says, when Mariah Mills on Tandy Time. Look at that, by the way. Actually, Jeb Bush, look at this wrench seeker. Not one comment the whole stream, and then he shows up at the end. Look at these guys. Wrench seekers. Mariah Mills on Tandy Time. I'd love to ask about her music career. I actually didn't know that she was a musician. I'm going to go listen to her full catalog of music after this is over, of course. And Jeb says, if I win, I'll sell it immediately too. At least you're honest. I mean, look, you can do whatever you want with the moment. Honestly, I won. So I don't know if you guys have played the Realms game yet, but I got super lucky. I ripped a Porzingis rare and I ripped a Clark rare, and the Porzingis rare, I can flip that into something else. So if anyone wants an MGLE Porzingis rare, go buy it from me so I can get something else. But yeah, I believe you, Jeb. You were here the whole time. Jeb's a true only tan. I believe it. She plays the flute. Oh, wow, QA. I didn't know that. now, QA. I need to have Rachel Dolezal on since Boston based. I would love that. And K Dot says, at best, you had him muted, which is pure disrespect. He doesn't believe you, Jeb. And he said, and Jeb says, I'd rather be waterboarded than join a Nine Lives Lounge spaces. All right. Well, anybody else? How many entries do we have? We have 19 entries. You have 29 of you here and only 19 entries. I always feel bad for those 10 people that could be entering and are not. There's three of you on Twitter. So if you're watching on Twitter, or if you're watching on, well, I think you could still enter even if you're on Twitter, but you got to write hashtag soda and then we'll run it. But there's 19 of you. So 10 of you are like, you know what? I don't need your dirty Zion moments. All right, let's just run it, right? Five better than a 5% chance. That's what I'm saying. There was the guy on Twitter who's like, I don't win anything. I never win. And then I said to him, show up and you can win something. You have a much better chance. Is he here? Probably not. Probably not. All right. Should we do it? Should we run it? Hold on. I have like a fun little drop. Hold on. Should we run it? Just kidding. All right, let's run it. Here we go. There you go. Rals is your winner. Rals L. Rals, throw your username in the chat, please, so I know it's you. Look at that. Soda, says Rals. Throw your username in the chat, Rouse, and I will send you over that beautiful, brand spanking new Zion Williamson rare moment. Here we go. Deep Fakes 63 is Rouse. So congratulations, Rouse. It shows you that it pays to be an only tan. And for those of you who didn't win, you don't need to close out of the stream right now, you dirty rent seeking, you dirty rent seekers. You don't need to close out of the stream just yet. Because you know what? We're going to have more of these. We're going to have them. And I'd love also to hear from you all to tell me stuff that you want to see on the stream. You know, sometimes I say that in the beginning of my podcast. I don't know if you guys listen to the podcast sometimes, but you should watch and then also listen to the podcast. Just kidding. But if you don't watch, you should listen to the podcast. And I like to remind people to go like or whatever, review the podcast wherever you get it. Leave the star rating. In fact, if any of you want to go do that, that would be nice, because my amount of people who leave a rating is very low compared to how many people who listen. So that would be nice. But yes, we're going to have giveaways. Some weeks we might even have a couple of giveaways. Okay. So if you play your cards right, if you like the stream, if you subscribe to the stream, if you keep coming back, if you tell your buddies about it, if you pump those numbers up, then we'll get more and more giveaways for you. We'll get more boobs. We'll get more Boston base tweets. And maybe one day I'll even live stream from the cobblestones of Portugal. Who knows? Luke, I hope you didn't just show up now and didn't get your name in, but I don't know, honestly. I hope you did. Stan Love is saying, when pseudo? Exactly. So Jen Pseudo, and we'll just end it here and then I'll give you my outro and we'll bid adieu. But Jen Pseudo called the crypto pump. I mean, even though I think she called it around the Bitcoin halving, but I'd have to go watch again. But she called the crypto pump. So you can all thank Jen Pseudo. And that's about it. So listen, that's the show. Thanks again to our sponsor, Floaty.io. If you guys need your trade tickets, as we've covered today, if you need your special cereals, your number ones, your jerseys, your perfect cereals, there's no better place to find them then on floaty.io. So go ahead and check them out, and you can follow their socials and their Discord, etc. Look in the show notes. All right. So that's about it from me, DeCloak. That's what I like to hear. I'm finally going to use Floaty because of your constant shilling. Exactly. I'm going to shill until all of you are buying Cosmics on Floaty. That is the goal. So thank you, everybody. Thank you, Mr. Kicker. Thank you, everyone, for showing up. I do appreciate this time together.
It allows me to not have to put my baby to sleep for an hour. My wife has to do it. Sorry, I'm busy right now. And she's usually watching at the end and starts texting me, get the hell off. So that's what we love. That's what we love to do here. But anyways, guys, thank you so much for hanging out. And until the next one. Ciao. Static selector.